recess.
No, sorry.
Did I miss something?
10:30.
Oh, I'm sorry. The 10:30 time's certain. I was saying we weren't. We were ahead of schedule, and I'm rushing to stay ahead of schedule.
We're we can recess minutes, for 1 minute.
We're 2 minutes ahead of schedule. I think we'll just wing it and proceed to our 10:30 time certain, assuming that the people that are needed are here. Okay. Item 352, please.
Support the One Key Question initiative to improve reproductive health care and long-term community outcomes by helping women plan healthy pregnancies and prevent unintended pregnancies.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. And if I could ask my presenters to please come forward. This is a very important initiative, and I want folks to know about it because the city does provide social services that then provide health care. So even though we're not direct providers of health care, it's an important initiative. It's the One Key Question initiative, which is a way for healthcare providers to support the needs of all reproductive age women in asking whether they want to become pregnant or prevent a pregnancy. So today we have Michelle Stranger Hunter, the Executive Director of the Oregon Foundation for Reproductive Health, Deborah Cafori, former Multnomah County Commissioner who led this work at Multnomah County, and Dr. Sharon Mirren, who's the Medical Director for the Oregon Foundation for Reproductive Health. Please explain what we're doing here.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners, particularly Commissioner Fritz. Thank you so much for this opportunity to present One Key Question to you all. One Key Question was an idea born in Oregon specifically to address the fact that half of all pregnancies are unintended. And unintended pregnancies, whether mistimed or unwanted, can have a profound impact on the physical, mental, and emotional well-being of women and her children. There's no question clinically what the impact of unintended pregnancy is. It is a problem that disproportionately affects low-income women and women of color. If you have an income below 200% of poverty, you are likely, 5.5 times more likely to have an unintended pregnancy. If you have less than a high school education, you have a 2.5 times greater likelihood of having an unintended pregnancy. If you're an African-American woman, you are 3 times more likely. It is a problem that disproportionately affects these women. Is it surprising that women with the least income, the least resources, the least education, the least access to health care have the most unintended pregnancies and enter into pregnancy in poor health with potentially avoidable threats already affecting that fetal development? The state of maternal child health in the Portland area is particularly alarming if you're a woman of color. If you are an African-American woman or American Indian woman and you have a baby, your baby is twice as likely to die as a non-Latina white woman. Women of color have 30 to 60% greater risk of having a low birth weight baby because of the lack of health care, the poor health that they go into that pregnancy with. We can't, as a community, afford the cost in women's lives and in their children's lives. So we really wanted to do something about this problem. We interviewed hundreds of clinicians about reproductive health care, and I should say primary care clinicians specifically. And their response, with very few exceptions, was, I don't talk to women about birth control. I don't talk to women about pregnancy. I mean, I will if she asks, but if she doesn't ask, I don't do anything. My patients go somewhere else. So what we, in fact, discovered in this process was that a significant contributing factor to unintended pregnancies is the actual design of the healthcare delivery system that requires women to go to 2 different places for our healthcare. You go to one place for your reproductive health, you go to another for the rest of your body. We look at that as missed opportunity. So we created a simplistic approach, rocket science, that all primary care clinicians and service providers within the community health system ask women routinely would you like to become pregnant this year? If yes, great. Let's make sure you don't have any pre-existing conditions that are going to affect the health of your pregnancy, and here's your folic acid, because we know that prevents birth defects. If no, great. What are you using for contraception, and is it working for you? If the woman is unsure, okay, how about using contraception until you are sure? Or alternatively, act pregnant before you become pregnant. Otherwise, women will say, well, I'm really okay either way. Then please act pregnant before you become pregnant. Make sure that your health and your behaviors are conducive to a healthy pregnancy so that the outcome can be the prevention of unintended pregnancies and pregnancies that are better prepared for, and therefore they are as healthy as possible. If primary care clinicians routinely integrate preventive reproductive health into their assessment so that they're dealing with preconception care and contraceptive care, it would dramatically increase women's access to reproductive health services and therefore meet our goal, which is more pregnancies that are wanted, planned, and as healthy as possible. Now, we first piloted One Key Question at the OHSU Richmond Clinic in Southeast. It was very successful. Women loved it. The providers found that it really was very feasible and tended to organize a conversation they were having or should have had anyway. Now we have One Key Question being asked at Outside In, at Washington County Public Health Clinics, Hood River Public Health Clinics, soon to be offered at the Wallace Medical Concern, a safety net clinic in Southeast, soon to be offered throughout the public and private healthcare systems in Jackson and Josephine counties, soon to be offered at Wasco Public Health. Now, we published an article last July and have been presenting at national conferences, and we've gotten a great deal of attention. We have providers in 12 different states right now that are in some phase of implementing One Key Question, from a tribal health clinic in Alaska to the State Department of Public Health in Vermont, Massachusetts, West Virginia, South Carolina, California, Illinois, New Mexico. So what about Multnomah County? This year, Multnomah County did a small pilot, one clinician, one clinic in Southeast, with dramatic effects. That this was a clinician who truly felt like this was something she was routinely doing anyway. But having the structure where you are always asking, never mind what judgments are going on in your mind about whether this is an appropriate question for this particular woman, every reproductive age woman at risk of becoming pregnant was asked. She found that 26% of her patients who said they did not want to be pregnant were not using any birth control. Now, fortunately, they didn't leave that way. On the other side, she had 14% of her patients saying they wanted to become pregnant, but had not been screened for pre-existing conditions or given or suggested folic acid or prenatal vitamins. So, small study, large impact. We really hope that the City Council will consider this resolution. We understand that this is the county, but we really believe that your resolution would support in great measure the need for the county to make sure that public health services have the necessary resources to implement One Key Question, and together we can really do something about this problem. I think in closing, I just want to also point out to you that this initiative has been endorsed by every primary care association in Oregon. All of the physicians, the Oregon Medical Association, the family physicians, the OBGYNs, the nurse practitioners, the nurses, the osteopaths, the naturopaths, the pharmacists, the physician assistants, everyone public health people think this is a really good idea, and I hope you'll join in with that. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm just going to speak briefly to two more clinical aspects of this and then defer to former Commissioner Kafouri to talk more about the county efforts that she's implemented. And thank you again for listening and taking the time to consider this. Really appreciate it. So as a physician, I want to just say a few words on a couple of different levels. I look at when you address one key question, I see it on the public health level, and I think Michelle's done a good job of explaining the sort of public health statistics and impact. But just to remind you of the what I consider shocking statistics of almost 50% of pregnancies are unintended, and in Oregon, almost 58% of deliveries are paid for by Medicaid. Those are quite staggering, and this has been an intractable problem for decades. What we have here is what we hope is a very simple solution to streamline getting to this problem by providers. More on a personal level, I work in the emergency room, and I see on literally a daily basis the devastating effects of unintended pregnancy on women, on the children they do have, on their families, and it is devastating. Just the other day, a woman came in who, and we can make an impact. A woman came in who was early in pregnancy and was hemorrhaging, discovered that she had some underlying medical conditions, also was using illicit drugs, and, you know, this, either way this went, an intervention to say, do you want to become pregnant? If she said yes, we could have worked on some of this so the baby wouldn't have been born addicted to drugs or with these complications. If no, then maybe we could have prevented this horrible, traumatic event. So I see it on a personal level, and I see it on the community and public health level. And I would just like to emphasize how beneficial it is. I think Deborah Kafouri has been particularly helpful in addressing this on a county level as county commissioner and recognize the importance. And so I'd like to turn over to her.
Thank you. Deborah Kafouri, former Multnomah County Commissioner. You probably know, or maybe you don't know, that Multnomah County provides health care to one out of every 10 residents in Multnomah County. Those are a huge number of people. And the majority of those are women. And it is because of this reason, and because of the reason that one key question is so simple. It is such a common sense way to protect and improve the health of women and children in our community that in 2012 I sponsored a resolution that started the pilot project that Michelle referred to at Multnomah County. And I believed then, and I still believe today, that by asking this simple question, nurses and doctors open up a line of communication with their patients that improves the quality of care delivered and improves the health outcomes both for the mother and for the child. And isn't this what health care reform is all about? If I am successful in my candidacy for Multnomah County Chair, I am committed to working with Multnomah County's Health Department, the county's clinical directors, Oregon Nurses Association, NARAL, and the Oregon Foundation for Reproductive Health to put together a one key question and implementation plan for the entire Multnomah County. And it is my hope that you will support us today with your vote on this resolution. And I just want to thank both of you for coming today, and I especially want to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing forward this proposal. It almost sounds too good to be true that just one simple question can make such a big difference. But I believe, just as I believe that our community is, healthcare community is finally coming around to realizing that dental care, oral care, and physical health care are interrelated, realizing that for women, reproductive health care is a crucial and important part of health care for women in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Other panelists that you're going to call? Just these three wonderful ladies. Thank you very much. And I don't know if there's anyone else that wants to testify on this item. We'll open that up if there are.
We have three people signed up.
Okay.
Actually, Mr. Mayor.
Please. Questions?
I'm very much inclined to support the resolution, but I actually have one key question of my own for each of you that I don't have answers to. Commissioner Cafori, how is your husband's leg? Ms. Stranger Hunter, don't you think that Stranger Hunter is a rather unhospitable name, and have you ever considered changing it to something more welcoming? And Ms. Barron, Dr. Barron, I have to say, I saw your daughter doing her homework at the Hillsdale Starbucks this morning, and do you really think that's an appropriate use of limited coffee shop space?
And none of you have to answer that, any of those questions. But you can if you want.
I'm going to answer for Dr. Myron. Dr. Myron was actually with me in Hood River at One Community Health this morning, presenting at 8 a.m. So, you know, so her daughter was at a coffee shop doing homework.
Dr. Myron's probably glad to hear that you observed her daughter doing the homework.
Yes. Homework, yes. I'm
relief to her.
I will encourage this.
And I will answer as well. Mr. Blosser is doing quite well in his recovery from a fractured ankle. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Let's take the folks that want to testify on this, please.
Okay. Please come on up. Reverend C. Johnson, Michelle Munt, and Nan Wigmore.
Come on up. You can all come up together. Good morning. Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. For the record, Charles Johnson. I almost don't want to be here. What I want to have in my seat is a young woman who's not as white as I am. I hope that these great women who came up here to talk about this very important program will work with some of the clients to overcome the fear and stigma that our society also often puts on women who are dealing with pregnancies that weren't quite what they planned to have going on in their life at that time. This type of issue, of course, needs the full support of counsel. When I go to Sisters of the Road or City Target, I see women who are struggling with the problems of early and unintended pregnancies, and they're not getting the support, and they're aware that if they're choosing to keep their child, they're in a very difficult position, but they all feel that society could have done a better job in making them aware of options of providing birth control that fits within their financial condition. So this is, of course, a very important issue. We also need to be, unfortunately, we have to ask y'all commissioners and other elected officials to be watchdogs. I am a customer, client, patient at the Richmond OHSU facility, but then OHP sent me a letter that says I'm on family care, which doesn't serve that facility, and I bet that young pregnant women have the same problem, that they call the toll-free number and they stay on hold for an hour, and the natural biological default for their body is just to have a baby that will be ridden with health problems because there are long hold times and poorly structured health plan administration. So I want you commissioners to not only support this One Key Question initiative, but to partner with the elected people of the state and to actually harass and snoop and sniff around in the workings of the Oregon Health Authority to make sure that especially low-income and minority women get fully competent service, and that our money is channeled to doing things like this more than it is to dealing with pet projects of the Portland Development Commission and enriching developers. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Michelle Munn, and regarding your one key question, I just have two like broad, vague, possibly you might interpret it as vague responses. One is that the problem of babies born addicted to drugs with women of color, this problem could be alleviated by a more attention toward giving people jobs everywhere. And you may not see the link, but it's people could have a job and they could have a family if the dads had a job, but so we could create jobs, I think, is a direct way to address health problems, even pregnancy. And the second thing is just that other countries, it's systemic that I'm saying, they don't pay $500 a head for health care, and we do. So where's that money going? It's not going to the girls pregnant. And they would go. If there was a clinic, they would go. They would get their service. It's not there.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Nan Wigmore. I ran into a young couple last night sleeping on the sidewalk, and I couldn't help but think what it must be, a situation, how we could assist people such as this young woman from getting into the position where she will be hunting because she wouldn't know. She just can't know. She has an addiction. And I think we ignore a lot of that. I think society has a tendency to think, you know, to brush under the rug all of the problems in the street. She is not only the only kind of person who falls on the street. And I know that we can do more, and I'm just asking simply that a little work harder. Please work harder.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Then we'll take a roll call on the resolution, please.
Bish?
I want to begin by thanking Commissioner Amanda Fritz for bringing this resolution forward. And I want to thank our distinguished panel for their testimony. And I learned a number of things. For example, I guess I should have known that 1 out of 10 women in Multnomah County is served by the county and its health provider. And some of the statistics in the resolution should make us all feel ashamed about healthcare inequities. So thank you for bringing attention to this very important question. My mother was a nurse, and so I had great healthcare at home when I was a kid. My wife and I have had 2 planned pregnancies, and we've been blessed with healthy pregnancies and healthy children. But that is not necessarily the norm for everyone. And so by asking this question, we will improve reproductive health, something that both the city and the county are committed to because a healthier community benefits all. So I thank you for bringing this forward, and Amanda, thank you for your leadership. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I also want to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this very important One Key Question initiative forward, and I guess I would disagree with Michelle Stranger-Hunter somewhat when she characterized this as not something the city cares about. I think the city cares very much about issues related to poverty and helping people, particularly people of ethnic minorities who statistically suffer a much greater incidence of bad things happening. It's just, across the board. So this is of profound interest to all of us on this body here who care about every Portlander and their well-being and future Portlanders, too, that aren't here yet. Please support this. Aye.
Novick.
I, too, want to thank the panel and to note that although there's all sorts of problems in healthcare and in society in general that are difficult, if not, intractable to solve and require vast amounts of resources to solve, this is a reminder that there's some things that we can do that are really pretty simple and not that costly. Another example would be that every once in a while I read articles saying that we could reduce the risk of infection in hospitals if more doctors and nurses remembered to wash their hands. And the idea that we can dramatically improve people's lives by just asking one simple question is really refreshing, and I'm delighted that you're carrying this initiative forward and delighted to support it. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to Michelle Stranger-Hunter for your national leadership on this issue and to Dr. Mirren and Deborah Carfori for taking time out of your very busy schedules to come in today. I very much appreciate it. Thanks to our President Obama, who cares about us and who has established so that people can get health care. Everybody can get health care. And thanks to my colleagues on the council, everybody in Portland has paid sick time so that they can take time off their jobs to go get their health care needs met, including preventative health care. So I very much appreciate that. I'm reminded of the checklist that was introduced in many hospitals for surgeons, and that there was one particular surgeon who had a very good success rate and who of not making errors. But once he started using the checklist, he made even fewer errors. And so that the story of the physician at that Richmond clinic thinking that she was already doing this, but then once she started tracking, realized that she had not been consistently asking the question. I appreciate those who came in to testify today. Mr. Johnson reminded me, what if every man asked every woman, would you like to become pregnant this year? I think that there might be still, that there might be another way of decreasing unintended pregnancies and of making people, everyone, male and female, responsible for outcomes. It is probably still not well known that taking folic acid before you become pregnant can decrease birth defects. And so that's something that probably every reproductive age woman should be taking folic acid throughout their reproductive years just in case. Because even when you're careful, sometimes there are unintended pregnancies. So I particularly thank Jasmine Wadsworth on my staff for her help preparing this and coordinating the presentation. And I'm very pleased to support this resolution. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership on this and for our amazing local experts for working on this front. You know, this will be implemented by others. It won't be city employees who will be asking that key question, but it will be relevant to our successors on this council as to how well it works, because our successors will, just like us, be working to try to make Portland safer and more prosperous. And to the extent that we get upstream and change the fundamentals, then we are safer and we are more prosperous. If we have a higher high school graduation rate, we'll be safer and more prosperous. If we have a higher third grade reading level, we will be safer and more prosperous. As we heard last night, if we have the kind of preschool performance that we're seeing at Earl Boyle's, where 94% of the kids are at or above reading level, in a school that has 80% free and reduced lunch kids, if we achieve those kinds of results more places, then we'll be safer and more prosperous. But even further upstream, if we have less lead in the environment, something that Commissioner Novick has noted a number of times, then we have people whose brain functions are unhindered and therefore they make better decisions later in life. And if we have more access to reproductive choice and reproductive health, then we have more wanted pregnancies and kids who have a good start in life, and we have a safer and more prosperous community. So that's why the partnership between the city and the county matters so much, and between the city and the school districts, and among all of us who have to think systemically about these issues. And it's really fascinating to me as a policy wonk, among the company of policy wonks, to know that one key question in the right place at the right time can actually change those fundamentals. And that's very much what this is about. And I like it very much and appreciate the good work. Aye. Now we are recessed until 2 p.m.